Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The information depicted in this podcast is purely for informational purposes only. Please consult your healthcare professional before making any changes to your lifestyle or routine.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Boost Your Biology podcast. My name is Lucas, and I'm the founder of Ergogenic Health. Together in this podcast series, we will go underground to explore cutting-edge health and human performance insights that you simply cannot search on Google to help you upgrade your existence. So, without any further ado, let's jump into today's episode. I wanted to quickly give a shout out to my friends over at Neurotech. They've recently launched a new nootropic formula that's designed to have an anti-stress effect and help one with their sleep. This particular hot chocolate formula is designed to help one unwind after a hard day at work. It contains some pretty unique ingredients such as magnesium glycinate, L-theanine, and some other adaptogenic herbs. You can use the discount code BYB to save 20% off on all Neurotech products. That's BYB to save 20% off. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Boost Your Biology podcast. Today, I have a very special guest joining me in. He is a thriving entrepreneur, author, and speaker. He is the CEO at Self Hacked, Self Decode, and Lab Test Analyzer. And his mission is to help people gain access to the most up-to-date, unbiased, and scientifically based ways to optimize their health. So joining me on the show today is Joe Cohen. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Lucas. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Joe, so maybe do you want to give my listeners a bit of a background into, I guess, maybe your story and how you got so fascinated with, you know, optimizing the human body?
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. And I don't even think about it sometimes. It's just kind of like I'm here where I am, but, you know, it's kind of like a flashback every time I think about it. Growing up, I had a lot of health issues. And, you know, at the time, it's just interesting. You don't really know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're ever going to solve them. But so from a young age, I was very curious about health. I remember getting into health at like 12 years old. Just like very, very young. I would always be that kid who ate whole wheat bread. And as like a young kid, and like I'd come in with like lettuce and tuna and whole wheat bread. I was like 10 years old. But anyway, I always had like kind of health issues and, things like brain fog, fatigue, motivation issues, you know, mental health issues. And, you know, I mean, as time went on, the issues got worse. And so I you know, I kept on trying to do things myself and trying to figure stuff out. But, you know, but the issues were getting worse over time. So, you know, at a certain point, I had to take it like very seriously. I said, okay, you know, my life is, it was disabling. I felt I couldn't really work or have a relationship or, you know, go to school anymore even. And I just felt like, you know, figuring out my health is going to be a lever for me to do everything else in life that I want to do. Mm. Right. So if I don't figure out my health, then I can't really do anything else. And so I prioritized that at, you know, when I was like 23, from the age of 23, that was like one of my main priorities in life. You know, I did different things. I went to doctors, alternative doctors, read a lot, tried to figure out what's up, how does my body work, and why do I not feel 100%. And so, yeah, I was able to figure out quite a lot. And I made some, you know, really big improvements. Like I was able to get rid of I was able to figure out what my issues were from and make really big improvements. And that allowed me to start Self-Hacked, which was, you know, which is, you know, popular health website. So a lot of people know me from there. And that was kind of my beginning. That was like my beginning. And so I was only able to start that because I had made huge improvements in my health. Whereas if I didn't, I wouldn't have been able to do it. I remember buying the domain it was 2011, but I couldn't start it until a couple years later because I just wasn't at that point in time of my health. And so, you know, so basically, but after I started Self-Hacked and, you know, it was a very big improvement, but I then was on a journey since then of, you could say, like constant minor improvements, right? Where it's like you figure one thing out here, you figure another thing out here. It's kind of just constantly improving, like figuring this tip out, figuring that out, this piece of information. And actually, you know, when I started Self-Hacked, I also got my DNA sequenced. And I was following my lab test since, what year was that? Like I've been keeping every lab test that I took since 2010.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, and the genetics was like, beginning of 2013. I got my genetics, I was keep following my lab tests. Because the reason I did this, cause I thought this is like a very good return on my investment, right? Even though I didn't really have any money back then. I felt like tracking what is wrong with me in my labs, or just what's like, you know, what's right, even just, you know, what the situation is with me, and then also tracking my genetics. So I was able to see stuff that improved in my labs over time, and I was able to use my genetic blueprint as this roadmap for these incremental improvements over time. That's why I eventually started Self-Decode as well, which is, you know, is genetics and lab platform, and also other kind, you know, we're integrating environmental data in order to basically have a tool that that allows me and other people to kind of get information, these, important information over time, as the science evolves, as things evolve. But even in 2013, when the science was much more basic, when it was much less involved, I felt like I was able to get interesting information from my genetics. And every year, it just gets better.
Amazing. So just maybe for my listeners, did you want to sort of explain to them, let's sort of break down the different types of genetic testing on the market and sort of explain to them in simple form how this data can be really useful to improve their health.
Okay. So yeah, the first thing I think is, there's people who either have genetic testing already. They maybe have done it. And then there's people who are maybe looking for genetic testing. So if you're looking for a genetic test to buy just the raw data, I could go through that in terms of, there's a couple options, right? So buying your raw data, I guess there's companies that just sell you like maybe a few hundred or a few thousand SNPs. You definitely do not want to buy those.
Explain what SNPs are for
my? Yeah, sure. That's a good idea. So basically you have this genetic code with 3 billion letters. And basically that makes up you, because these letters make up proteins and that makes up everything that you are, pretty much. They interact with the environment, of course, but it forms the blueprint of a lot of things, everything pretty much. It's just when it comes to complex diseases, they interact with the environment, or complex systems. Could be intelligence, could be any kind of complex system, whereas other things are, more set, like eye color, something like that, right? You have these 3 billion base pairs, and then you have different kinds of variations in your genetics. The most common and studied type is the single change of a base pair. So somebody has one letter and then you have a different letter. Instead of an A, you have a C. And so these changes can have different impacts, and that's what you basically call a SNP. If there's a single letter change, and if that's inherited, meaning sometimes you have a single letter change, it's just a mutation and it doesn't get inherited, meaning like you could have a genetic mutation at a certain age or whatever, but it doesn't get passed down. So any variation in the genome, in your whole genetics that gets passed down is a SNP. Single nucleotide variant or polymorphism, right? So that's quite, I think it's quite simple in looking at it that way. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to study SNPs, and it's more easy to look at them, right? And those are the most popular kinds of variants. There's 83 million SNPs in people in the globe, meaning most of them are not common, meaning like if you're just looking at the common ones, there's maybe a couple million that are maybe up to 5 million, but 83 million that we know of right now, and it goes more of them, there's more that come out every year because they'll find, if you sequence the whole globe, you'll find more of them because there's rare ones where a lot, just one person in the world has it, nobody else does, right? So they have a variation. So, there's different, some people define a SNP as something that's common, but like a common variation, but a single nucleotide variation is that. And so there's right now there's 83 million. Okay. Okay. So that's what you have as that's a SNP. And then, so going back to the companies, there's a lot of companies that will only test like 1,000, maybe a few thousand, right? And obviously that's not something you want to do, right? And then there's other companies that will test. Let's say that if you look at 23andMe, Ancestry, or the kit that we offer, it's not significantly different. The one that we offer might be slightly better. I think it is better than Ancestry. 23andMe is probably better than Ancestry, but these are, it's not like a huge difference. It's like slightly better, right? I would say it's probably just slightly better, but these are the types of the chips that are looking at, about up to 1 million variants, we could say. And they're mainly looking at SNPs, these SNPs. So that's like the second kind. Now, when you're looking at those, what you want to do, you want to look at the company that's not going to sell your data. That's the most important thing at that point. Or the company that you want to use for the analysis as well, because that will make it easier. It automatically gets forwarded. Whereas 23andMe, doesn't necessarily... You have to go through, they try to hide it a bit, but they allow you to download. So if you've already gotten your data, you don't need to sequence it again. Did you have a question?
Yeah, just in terms of, let's say somebody does get back their data, in terms of interpreting the data, like how does a user go about that?
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. The last one is like whole genome sequencing, and that kind of sequences other variants. It's just that right now nobody's really looking at the other variants, and it's more expensive. You don't get more benefit now. So basically, maybe in 5 years it would be useful, but right now it's mainly the genotype kits are the most affordable and the thing that I would recommend right now.
Right.
It has tons of information. I would like to say that, up to 1 million SNPs. So if there's basically something that you want to look for in a company is a company that does this thing called imputation. Now, what is imputation? It's basically if you have a book with, imagine you have a book and you take out a lot of letters from the book. If you can put a machine learning tool on it and it'll be able to fill in the letters because it's patterns, right? It's like, I went to the store. If you said I-E-N-T to the store, you could figure out went, right? You didn't send to the store, right? It's a pattern. And so basically what we do, for example, is we take a file of, 650, 700,000 SNPs, our kit, and we can turn that into a file with 83 million SNPs, which is basically you get pretty much all the SNPs out there.
Wow.
So
let's have a look at some of the cool SNPs that you think might be really interesting. Yeah, like let's talk about some of those SNPs that you've sort of discovered or have been really game changing for some people.
Yeah, we could talk about the specific variants. Something I do want to mention, just to go in the bit of a background though. One thing you have to realize about SNPs is that in any given topic, there could be millions of variants that influence that topic. Okay. And so one thing you want to be looking for is looking at, meaning when you're doing an analysis on a topic in terms of like, what's a risk for something, genetic risk for something, you want to be looking at as many variants as possible that have to do with that topic. And it could be over a million, right? And so one thing you want to look for when you're looking at analysis from a company is how many variants are they analyzing? So if they're only analyzing a handful of variants or, you know, below 100, something like that, that means that they're going to be a lot less accurate because they're looking at maybe one page of the book, and then they're telling you, they're trying to predict what the whole book is about. So sometimes that could be accurate if you know, that you could read one page and maybe you get a good idea, but most of the time it's not accurate. So that's something that you have to be aware of, that when looking at individual SNPs, is that, you know, there are some important ones. There's no question about that. But you still, when you do an analysis, you want to look at millions of variants. And the way to do that is using machine learning and AI, because humans cannot do that. And so you want to make sure that the company that you're using is using these cutting edge AI and machine learning tools. And the way you know that is a couple ways, based on the team, if they have the team capable of doing that. And if and based on how many S&Ps they're looking at, right? So if they're only looking at less than 100, you know they're not doing any kind of deep learning analysis. So it is something you want to be a little careful about, like looking at specific SNPs. I mean, they can, looking at very specific ones can help, but it is some, meaning it's like interesting, right? It's like reading a very large book about yourself, and then you read like one page or like a paragraph that catches your eye and it's very interesting and clicks with you. And that doesn't mean that it's, you know, that's just because it's a paragraph, it's worthless, right? It could be the one that really resonates with you. And so that's kind of how you want to look at SNPs. It's like you can find an important SNP for you that kind of resonates with you. That kind of like you're like, hey, these are actually like the issues that I deal with. And it sounds like this is, you know, something that resonates with me. But it's not something you want to be like, this is, you know, this is the whole book, right? This is the whole, my whole situation, because there's usually, you have to look often at the whole book in context if you want to really come out with information. So in terms of, if you want, like, I don't think it specific SNPs, I think it helps to talk about specific genes, right? So SNPs are part of genes are part of pathways, and what happens is that, you know, sometimes if you can have risk for SNP, that can translate into changes in how the gene functions, and that can translate into changes in a pathway. And so that is when kind of you would see like a click of like, hey, this resonates with me. And so that's kind of, and that change in the pathway could result in a change of a trait, something that you're dealing with. You notice, hey, I notice that I'm like this or whatever. Right. And so, when looking at these, you really want to look at it, you know, you don't just want to look at SNPs and be like, I've got this SNP, therefore I should do this, right? You want to look at it in terms of first the whole trait, the, like, whatever you're trying to improve, you want to make sure that whatever you're doing is going to improve that, because that is like the big picture. It's like, if you know, you're not going to say, I'm going to take this random supplement here because I have this SNP. You're going to say, well, the supplement or this lifestyle approach is good for this as a whole, and then it also happens to be good for this, right? Mm-hmm. And so you always want to make sure that whatever you know, if you're looking at a precision health tool, that it's doing that. Currently, we're the only ones on the market doing that. So there's companies that will only look at a SNP and be like, you know, based on the SNP, you should do this. Then there's companies that just look at the trait and they're like, you should do this. But those are generic recommendations because they're not actually looking at your genes as well. And you know if they're looking at your genes based on if they're telling you which gene they're recommending it for and why they're recommending it for that gene. Basically, they need to connect the dots for you or else they're just giving you generic recommendations. Because it's very easy to just say, hey, we looked at your genes. Here's what you should do, right? Well, how do you know they're not BSing, right? How do you know they're not giving the same recommendations to everybody? So what you need to look at is you need to see why are they recommending this? Which gene is, for example, a gene that came up? And so that's something that, at SelfDecode, we're the only ones who do that on the market is make recommendations as a whole and then also prioritize them based on an individual's genetics.
Yeah. So I guess with these interventions and these recommendations, really it's sort of playing on the term of epigenetics, right? So we have, genetics loads the gun, environment pulls the trigger. So these recommendations, these interventions that are suggested, basically what you're saying is that they actually can tweak and manipulate our genetic expression.
Yeah. So basically what happens is you can manipulate genetic expression in a bunch of ways. You're not changing your genes, your DNA itself. That's set, right? So the blueprint is set. The computer hardware is set, but you can change the software. And that's kind of what, that's diet, lifestyle, drugs. They interact with your genetics in a way that you're changing it for the better. So I'll give you an example. Let's say, you have a propensity for, your genes to operate in one way. And so your genetics create proteins that, there's mRNA and then they create proteins. And those proteins go on to do a bunch of things in the body. But your lifestyle can either interact on the protein level, right? And they could like inhibit a protein, increase a protein. A lot of drugs interact that way. And then there's things that can just change genetic expression directly. Like they can increase mRNA levels. Or they can interact with your genes so that they increase the expression of certain genetics, and then so those will express more and then produce those proteins. Everything you do basically is going to impact genetic expression and interact with proteins in your body. The thing that you want to do is figure out what is the best fit for the topic you're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. So what is a topic that say that you're trying to, you're interested right now? And does that change over time? I'm curious about what your interests are.
For me, it would be things related to insulin sensitivity. So anything around that. Because my dad's type 2 diabetic. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, and does that change over time? You're probably like, I don't know about you, but I know for me, like every 6 months to a year, I get into something else. Do you have like different topics that you're interested in at different times?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I go through waves where I get, obsessed with like optimizing deep sleep or, detoxification pathways, or even one area that I've been focused on is the 5-HT1A receptor. I've been obsessed, trying to learn more about that.
Interesting. Yeah. That's very. I'm the same way. So, let's say type 2 diabetes, right? Because you have a family history of diabetes. Okay. So Yeah, there's going to be... So, for example, we have a blood sugar report that we'll look at a lot of genes. A lot of them are related to insulin sensitivity. But basically, you know, it gives you a genetic risk for diabetes, right? Or blood sugar, having high blood sugar. And then it shows you the prioritized recommendations about, you know, what are the top things that you can do for that that will lower your blood sugar. And these are... The priorities are changed based on your individual genetics. And so that's kind of like, and then it explains for each one, it explains what it is, like why it is we're recommending that. It explains the whole logic of why we're recommending that with all the studies so that you could go look at that and, you know, and see. In terms of the other things you mentioned, let's say you're interested in sleep. We have a sleep report. And that there's certain, you know, there's... So just to go back for a second, blood sugar. I have a bit higher risk for genetic risk for blood sugar. And it does seem my fasting blood sugar, even when I eat healthy, is a little more elevated than... It's a bit more elevated than the norm, which is 90. It's about 93. Yeah, it's about 93 usually, even if I eat very, you know, even if I'm doing everything right. Which is interesting, but something, so I actually was interested in that. I looked at my report and I found some interesting things that I noticed were true for me. For example, should I bring up the report? Do you want me to share that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it's a good example, even something I'm thinking about is drug responsiveness, like if I'm going to be like a non-responder to metformin or not, things like that.
Yeah. So we don't do drug responsiveness just because that's a regulatory landmine. but yeah, so basically, okay, let me share my screen here. Am I allowed to share my screen? No.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I am?
Make your hosts.
You don't have to make me the host. Oh, okay. That works, but you could also share it. Okay. So you could see here's my risk above average. And then this is like more information. You see I'm in the 80th percentile. You could also see how many variants we analyzed.
Jeez.
1.1 million. Yeah. So this is just looking at this, you know, other companies are really just looking at a couple variants here. This is a very big, the reason why they don't look at more is because it's actually a lot of work to look at 1.1 million variants. You have to use, first of all, you have to do imputation, right? Which we discussed is that looking at many, like basically taking a file of 650,000 SNPs and then turning it into an 83 million SNP file. And doing that accurately is not easy. We have a team working just on that, a science team. And we've been able to get it to a record-breaking accuracy. So we're able to predict variants that weren't even sequenced with a 99.7% accuracy.
Wow.
Which is actually higher than the chip itself. So we can tell if the chip itself has inaccuracies. It's kind of like, you know, if you publish a book, you read it, you're like, you know, I know there should be, you know, then should be with an E, not an A. They made a mistake in this book, right? Because your brain has this pattern recognition system. So we could tell with 99.7% accuracy now, which nobody else has in the industry. And so number one is you have to get the large number of variants, because how many, you know, you're going to look at 1.1 million variants just with blood sugar. You obviously need a file. So we're able to get 83 million variants, which is also a record breaking thing. Nobody else, no other company is able to get 83 million variants, and nobody else is able to get that 99.7% accuracy. Mm. So those are those are two difficult problems that are not easy. The other thing is it costs, just to generate a file could cost like $5 because of the computing power that we have to do. And so you need a bunch of data engineers and scientists to make that a lot cheaper.
Jeez.
Right? It's like, and that's why nobody's really doing it, because it really involves a lot of specialists and brain power. We have 70 people in engineers and scientists working on these types of stuff. And also doing the personalized recommendations. These are very, very difficult tasks that no other team can do, which is why they don't do it, very simply. And also, a lot of people don't realize these things. So it really is very easy to just invest in marketing and not, and just pretend like you're doing cool stuff, right? Have a couple advisors that are famous or whatever, but the advisors don't actually do anything. The reason we're doing this, it's not because we're making more money from it, really. It's because we actually plan on getting patents and publishing papers, and we also want to go into hospitals as well eventually. And in order to do that, you need to do things right. Whereas these companies are just focused on any company that's not in, like, you know, that doesn't plan on getting into hospitals, it doesn't have to do things right. It could just do whatever. It's not, you know, if they're not regulated, then they could do whatever they want. So they just look at a couple variants. They don't do the precision health. They don't really do that imputation, which is a prediction of the other variants. And so it's really, the important thing to know is quality is everything in this industry. Mm. If you're not getting quality, then you might as well go to a palm reader.
And the same goes with the recommendations as well, right? So like actively, suggestions and things like that, that's obviously, really important as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge, right? We have a team working on these suggestions, and you can see the level of detail with these suggestions, right? So let's say if I look at, this is an interesting one because I noticed that this one helps me out.
Yeah, resistant starch. In fact, I'm similar to you. I can't, any sort of resistant starch will spike my blood sugar like through the roof.
Well, so first of all, it depends on your genetics, actually. So some of them, the first thing is it depends on your genetics. So these are recommendations for me to lower blood sugar, right? And basically, you want to be careful because the resistant starches on the market actually they're not real resistant starches. They're not good ones. They have a lot of lectins. They have other things involved. But basically, because resistant starches only really get absorbed in the large intestine, and they're not, they shouldn't increase your blood sugar. So here, we basically have, resistant starch doesn't increase blood sugar like typical digestible starches do. And then, but the thing is that it's often found in foods that can spike, like cooled potatoes, oats, rice, stuff like that. What I do is, I have, because I wasn't able to find good resistant starch in the market, I created my own, Joe's Resistant Starch, it's called, J-O. So we sell that. But in any case, you could see, going back here, 30 grams a day can help reduce blood sugar, prevent diabetes. And the thing is that it can help some people more than others. For me, it helps it even more, which is why it comes up number three. So it delays the absorption of sugar, and it tells me why also. So I carry this hunter-gather variant of the TCF7L2 gene. And people with this gene variant don't seem to handle carbs well. So it tells me basically I may need to limit even high fiber carbs like whole grains, which are normally can be protective for some people, but are actually not that good for me. So, and then there's four references here. Basically, you could when we double check everything in these reports, it's like a, you know, internal review process. So I'm confident that all of our references are pretty accurate here. Mm. Yeah, so it's stuff like this, basically, you know, and you could look at, for everything, the impact and the evidence. The impact is how much of an impact does it have on your blood sugar? You know, something can have a high impact but not have that much evidence, right? Or it could, you know, have a ton of evidence, but maybe it's only a small impact for, you know, but this one has a large amount of evidence and it also has a large impact. And then you could add it to your regimen. Like you can add these things to your regimen here. And so we keep track of the regimen. We basically have a bunch of different topics. I'm personally most interested in mood and, you know, mental health stuff. So like, let's say we have reports on mood, anxiety, stress. Those are some of the ones that interest me. If we look at mood, basically it's above average risk. I would say this is true. It is something I need to work on. And you could see, you know, just different recommendations here. I actually find that the serotonin stuff is very important for me. That is a pathway that is like, I find, you know, basically needs work. And you know, 5-HTP is a building block for serotonin. And it's important for a bunch of reasons, but 5-HTP is used as a mood boosting supplement and explains, you know, what it may also be good for here. It explains how it could be helping with low mood, right? Then it explains me particularly, what is the gene that makes this come up a little higher for me than other people. Mm. It says I have this tryptophan hydroxylase 2 variant, which, it likely reduces 5-HTP and serotonin production in the brain. Right? And then there's some references. Mm. So then that's why I'm recommended this more. And, you know, we could read about this gene more if we want here. So it's kind of like a whole, you know, database of information that allows you to really follow all the leads to see, like, why are we recommending something? And so for me, actually, I started taking this, the 5-HTP some time ago. Because of my genetics, actually, I noticed that a lot of my genes that were increasing my risk for mood stuff were related to serotonin one way or another. It was the serotonin 2A receptor, 5-HT2A, the tryptophan hydroxylase. And there was, there's MAOA. There was a bunch. And then there was this other one. It was like 5-HTLPR or something like that.
Yeah.
So there was a bunch of them related to serotonin. And so when I started to take the 5-HTP, it made a very, very big difference in my mood.
Mm, awesome. Yeah. So obviously, basically, you know, it's very practical, gives people really, it breaks it down basically using the most rigorous scientific data. And those recommendations are basically, it gives someone a framework to then sort of DIY, you know, build your own stack based on, you know, genetic data, which is really appealing. You know, it's going to be really appealing for those, a lot of my listeners, because, you know, I've got a lot of biohackers listening to my podcast. So, what are some of the next big things you guys are working on?
So, some of the things we're working on is combining labs and genetics and environment and creating an overall risk, because the limitation with genetics is you might have genetic risk. I mean, it's very common you can have genetic risk but not have an issue, right? Like everybody's got genetic risk for a lot of stuff, right? But, you know, I might have a lot of genetic risk, but I don't have any diseases. So what does that mean? So you can have a lot of genetic risk and basically because the environment is very important, you wouldn't have any diseases. So it's very important that you also look at the labs and the environment when taking into account like what is more of an absolute kind of risk, right? You don't want to just look at just the genetic risk, because just even if it's like super accurate, it's just not going to. I mean, the fact is that you also want to look at where you are in time. So we do have the lab analyzer. We brought it onto the version 2. So now that it's integrated, basically you can upload labs and get information from that, or you can buy labs in the US. But if you already have labs elsewhere, you could just upload it. And that's part of the self-decode package. And then but what we're doing is we're integrating that into the reports and then also integrating it into a, more complete risk score so that it gives you the complete picture, right? But it's going to be in stages. But that's essentially what we're working on. Right now, you can look at them both and you can get recommendations from your labs. You can get recommendations from your genetics. And then we're also going to, in the short term, we're going to be integrating them into the reports, like what labs do you need to check if you have high genetic risk for something? Like, let's say if you have high genetic risk for blood sugar, what do you want to check? Well, you want to check HbA1c, fasting glucose. And if those are good, it means that even if you have high risk, it means that you don't have a problem with it right now. You just, but if you are on the higher end, then here's the things that you can do to lower your risk, right? So, blood sugar is an interesting topic. I've been very interested in mood and stuff related to mood, like depression, anxiety. That's something I've been really into. And for me, I found that the genes that were most important were related to serotonin and also some of the cannabinoid system. But I would say serotonin is probably is number one for me. Anything that hits the serotonin system really works for me. Whereas a lot of other people, that's not true. It could be more things that, it could be NMDA receptors. So like magnesium doesn't really work for me at all, actually. And the reason is because it mainly works on the NMDA receptors and maybe GABA a bit. But the GABA and NMDA are not the biggest. Those are not, I mean, GABA might help a little bit, but it's not like the biggest issues with me. So that's where the genetics come in, right? Because, for some people, GABA can make a huge difference or NMDA can make a huge difference. And then in other people, it's more serotonin related stuff that might make a significant difference or, different pathways. There's a bunch of different pathways, but that's what I personally find is the serotonin pathway for me works the best.
What about for some other like sort of weird or bizarre discoveries some people have found using your software? Like, has anyone discovered something, just really out of the box and it's been a really big game changer for them? Like you've sort of, heard about success stories, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, we have a tremendous amount of success stories that I see in a bunch of different places. I mean, even just now we're on WeFunder, and nobody asked them to write anything, but there's I'm seeing tons just, basically, yeah, we're people. Now, they don't usually give like very specific details, or if they do, it's hard for me to remember those specific details with other people. I kind of just remember them for myself and maybe like people I'm close with. But like, let's say, you know, just for me, you know, I'm not remembering like, you know, somebody wrote this review, and I mean, people are not like specifically mentioning the genes that they looked at and everything they did, right? They're just looking at, but for me, I noticed, it was a big game changer when I noticed the cannabinoid genes were off, the serotonin genes, BDNF as well. So those kinds of those things really helped me a lot. The cannabinoid genes not only is related to mood, but it was also it's also related to food sensitivities, and so those were some of the big game changers for me is some of those genes. But yeah, like let's say for serotonin, there's serotonin 2A, there's MAOA, there's the tryptophan hydroxylase genes. And, you know, like I said, there's that, there's a other 5-HTLLPR or something, but basically those looking at those were, that was a big game changer, understanding that, you know, first of all, a lot of my food sensitivities were related to the cannabinoid system. And then also, a lot of the mood issues was related to the serotonin system. Mm. Right. And so even when I was like completely healthy, I still, you know, my mood wasn't actually like 100%. And I mean, it went in waves, but like, let's say, you know, at the start of Corona, there was a breakup and there was this, you know, I moved to a new country and there was a lot of like, just like, you know, a lot of stuff going on with Corona. So basically like I was, you know, I felt the need for mood related stuff. And so I, you know, I, and, but then even what I realized is like, wow, I was like, I should have focused on this stuff more. Cause I never, you know, I never was like very serious with the mood stuff. It was always like an interest, but one of many. And then after that, I was just like, you know, since I've been very diligent about making sure that I have mood stuff in my stack every day.
Mm, me too, man. I mean, lockdown for us in Victoria, in Melbourne, it's been pretty disastrous, to be honest. So it's like, I think a lot of people can relate to that, just going into lockdown and just the virus just affecting our mood and well-being.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, these lockdowns, it's really tough. I mean, it's, you just can't like meet anybody. It's just, everything feels like more tense. You guys are in a lockdown now?
We are right now, but we get released tonight at midnight.
Oh, these lockdowns are so bad. You can't do anything. You know, for me, it wasn't just the lockdowns, it was a bunch of other stuff, but I'm kind of, you know, I was able to, it was time to focus on my mood. Mm. And I'm happy that I focused on that, because I basically, you know, I made a big, very big difference in that regard. Just in general, yeah, I mean, I've worked with people very closely. And for example, there was one person that had a massive impact for lithium orotate. And they had a gene that, you know, made them do better with lithium orotate. And that was like a big game changer for them. You know, and so I've seen a lot of these kinds of, you know, it was like an overnight game changer. It was very interesting. Mm. Yeah, I mean, people, you know, the way to really look at genetics is like, you know, this is your blueprint, and the science, you know, we're constantly releasing more and more topics and updating topics. And it's just like this never, you know, you could always be learning new information about yourself. And that's kind of what I love, is just, you know, it's like you could read a fiction book and maybe it's like, whatever, you might find that interesting. But for me, it's like reading about yourself. I got this gene. These are the recommendations. These are my genetic risks. I could put in my labs. It's like really interesting.
Well, that whole process there is just, it's really, I can relate to that as well. It's just very empowering. Like you have so much control over your physiology, and that process there for many people is, you know, having that sense of control can just completely determine your quality of life. Which, you know, we're very much aligned in that regard. So, Joe, I think there's plenty of information you've just laid out to my audience. What I will be doing is, for those listening in, I will have a link in the description to actually order a testing kit, the self-decode genetic kit. We'll have all those links in the show notes. Were there any other final words you wanted to mention, Joe, at all?
I mean, just in general, I think, I'm in the biohacking world. I've been here a while. And I think it's just really exciting to see that. I think that the future of biohacking is really looking at personalized data, whether it's labs, whatever, genetics, whatever it is. And then you could do so many experiments, but if you don't have the right direction, it's just, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like I got really into biohacking after the genetics part of it, because I was able to really see, hey, look, I got this gene. Wow. It kind of opens up a whole new panorama, right? It's like, wow, you get to look inside your blueprint and see how all the different pieces of the clock that's ticking, you know. It was just, so I think like the future of biohacking, what I'm most excited about is continuing to discover new things.
Yeah.
Based on like our blueprint. And I think that's like the most, you know, that's really cool. That's why I haven't really been focused on self-hack for the past 2 years. It's basically, or a year and a half. It's basically just self-decode, because I think like, you know, we could put out a whole bunch of content, but which is, could be interesting. But, you know, if you really, like, I think people want really personalized content these days.
Awesome. Well, that pretty much sums up today's episode. Joe, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for joining in to today's episode. For in-depth show notes and lessons learned, visit nofilter.media/boostyourbiology.
This has been a No Filter Media production.
Say what you want.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.